Welcome to the Wisdom Lifestyle Money Show. I'm your host, Scott Dillingham. The goal of the show is to show you how you can grow personally, financially, have a larger net worth, and leverage your largest asset to help develop you into the person you want to be. I take you through all the steps I did coming from nothing, being told I was nobody and that I was never going to accomplish anything, getting kicked out of high school, to owning a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio and my own company. You'll meet our partners, you'll meet our friends, and you'll quickly discover how you can improve your life. So listen in and enjoy the show. Welcome back to the show today. Today I have a very special guest. Her name is Jillian, and she is biking across Canada for Sick Kids. She's actually already went from Toronto to New Brunswick, and by the time you're listening to this, she's probably en route, or maybe she'll be back, but she's biking from Vancouver to Toronto, which is amazing. So, Jillian, welcome. So what's inspired you? Like, did this inspiration to bike across Canada, was this something you came up with when you were younger, or was it something that just hit you when you were older?
So for me, I guess the first time that I had this idea to bike across Canada was actually in CHEO, in the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. So my little brother, because he was born with cystic fibrosis, spent so much time in and out with chronic lung infections, and that was the first time that we had met someone who was biking across Canada. She was such a cool, inspiring story for me, and I always thought, oh, when I grow up, the first big purchase of my life is going to be a bike. I'm going to bike across Canada. So I actually started this bike trip with the bike that I had purchased whenever I was 12 years old, which wasn't a very smart idea. It ended up breaking down on my third day, and I had to buy a whole new one. That's all this dream has been living part of me. Yeah, I'm 25 now, so it's been at least 13 years that I've been thinking of doing something like this. And now I'm part of the way done and still have a huge chunk of Canada to cross.
No, that's awesome. So when it comes to bikes, do you have a preference? Do you have a brand that you like?
Ooh, okay. So I'll be honest, with the state of everyone seems like they're more and more interested in cycling these days, just because I think recreational activities have shifted with COVID and with gyms being closed. So I actually purchased the only bike that was my size in about 7 bike stores that I had visited. So I ended up picking a gravel road bike. It's a Solo 30 Rocky Mountain, really great for climbing up hills. So I love that. And I'm going to be excited to use it in the West Coast for sure.
No, that's incredible. That's awesome. Tell me about your brother. So I know a lot of what you're doing now is to help support and create awareness. And tell me about your brother. Like, what's happening with him?
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, he was born with cystic fibrosis, had very frequent hospital admissions all throughout our childhood. And in 2014, he was airlifted to Sick Kids Hospital, listed for his first double lung transplant. Received it successfully, went on and lived the best year of his life. Like, we created a bucket list that year, and every time he craved a new favorite food, he just went for it. Every time that he wanted to experience something, just did it. We have this appreciation that life is very short. But my brother's health declined, and he actually needed a second double lung transplant. And then he didn't recover super well after the second transplant and actually ended up needing a third double lung transplant. So he is now the youngest person in the world and also the first Canadian to have had 3 double lung transplants. He's an incredible inspiration to me. I could, anytime that I lost a bit of motivation because you feel like your body is breaking down, I definitely thought about my brother and also how much he's been through, because he's definitely been through more than any person I've ever met. But yeah, he's currently at home with my parents right now, back in our hometown, and just doing what he can to make more memories and spend some time with family and friends.
No, for sure. So how is he recovering now? You mentioned the second one, he wasn't recovering that well. How is he recovering now?
So this third transplant has been tricky. He's actually been received testing to potentially receive a fourth double lung transplant, because he is currently, again, in the stage of chronic rejection. Yeah. But he has such an incredible mindset. And I think it's his mindset that has really allowed him to maximize his life to the extent that he has. He's 23 years old, but he has not really allowed life to put the halt on him. Like, he really lived out every day of his life as if it was one of his last, and I'm so proud of him for that. And that's why he's inspired me also to do what you want to do with your life while you're living it, because it can be so short, and you really have this one opportunity to do it.
No, it's true. Like, we on the show, we talk about personal and financial development. And one of the things that some of the recordings and previous people we had on, everybody says you just have to get out there and do whatever it is that you want to do. And a lot of people are, I don't know if the word's lazy, but they just don't get out there and do it. So I actually love the fact that for your brother, he's just doing whatever it is that he wants to do. What does he want to do next? Is there something really big that he wants to do that he hasn't done yet?
Yeah. So just prior to the pandemic, and this is honestly wild to me. So he had his third double lung transplant, and then he really hard to recover as best as he could. He was very serious about it. Like, he wanted to make sure that he had great nutrition. He had like great everything to give him like his best shot at recovering to the best that he could. And so he actually, 4 months after his third transplant, drove from Toronto all the way to Vancouver. And he hasn't driven himself yet from Toronto to New Brunswick. So he wants to do actually the opposite of what I'm really doing, or I'm doing the opposite of what he's currently done. Yeah, it's really cool. But so his next dream is to drive from Toronto to New Brunswick.
No, that's incredible. That's amazing. We've heard about some of your brother's trial and tribulations and things that he's went through. How has this been for your parents going through all of this?
Yeah, I think with the three double lung transplants, it obviously just moving, like being airlifted to a completely new city is such a change for a family to go through. Sure. So whenever we first arrived here, my parents are both small town folks who are accustomed to seeing more cows and more greenery and more trees than you do people ever. So they were really shocked whenever we got to the city, and suddenly there's cars everywhere. There's a lot of conveniences, of course, in Toronto, but it's also super overwhelming if you're from the middle of a forest. So they had a hard time adapting, and then also getting like a grasp of all the new medical jargon that comes with transplant. So it was definitely a lot, and it did cause them both to lose their jobs at some points. I've also been in a situation where I had to choose between caregiving and working, and I chose caregiving just because it felt like the more important thing to do at that time. But yeah, I know that there's a lot of families that are constantly making those choices too. So yeah, I have a lot of respect for obviously all the staff that took care of my brother, but also for all the parents and caregivers that are taking care of, you know, their loved ones.
It's crazy. And it's the little things that count too. I remember one time I helped out at McDonald's, at Ronald McDonald Charity House, and we bought food and all kinds of stuff for this little kid. And he, at the end of the day, he hugged us all and said we were his best friends. So that meant so much for him just to get out there and do something. So I think some people don't realize how that was a little thing for me and my friends to do, but little things go a huge way in helping others to heal and become better and feel better, you know, internally from this. So I think that's amazing. Now we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, Jillian's going to go into her story of preparing and everything and how it comes, or everything that needs to happen to travel from Vancouver to Toronto. So I'm really excited to hear this story. So we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Yeah, thanks for tuning back in. So Jillian, before the break, I mentioned that you were going to travel from Toronto to Vancouver, or sorry, vice versa, Vancouver to Toronto. So what is that like? How long do you have to prepare for that?
Yeah, so I think already I've learned so much about how to be more efficient on your bike. I think in total, I have about 50 liters of stuff that I'm bringing with me. And that's including my water bottles, my food, that's including my tent, my clothing for the trip, lots of socks. But I have really learned how to drastically live off of almost nothing now. So all my stuff can either fit inside one 50 liter backpack or basically in two panniers along the back of my bike. But wow. I think all, so I'm very minimalistic now, and I think it's almost like freeing to be like live off of so little. But I also have some really high-tech gadgets with me too. So some of my favorite ones are, like, when I'm biking, I'm also generating my own electricity through this company called Pell. So they have really been giving me some things so that I can generate electricity while I'm biking and don't have to worry about running out of juice for my phone. But yeah, otherwise, like lots of lights and cool gadgets to keep me awake out there as well.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So when you're going, so you're packing light, is there any health issues or risks that you face when you're traveling? Have you had like low blood sugar? Has anything come up?
Oh, yeah. There's one day, it's about 32 degrees outside, so it's just so hot. And I was only carrying about 3 liters of water on my bike. And 3 liters sounds like a lot, but on a really hot day, it does not feel like enough. And I was probably still about 40 kilometers from my destination that evening. And so, yeah, you definitely get to a point where I was anything that had any sort of moisture. I was like, it's crazy, but you're just so desperate for water. So you really, in nature, just because there's more moisture than not having anything at all. So that was definitely the hardest day. And then when I got to the next like village that I was going to be staying in, there was only one pub open. And so I pulled up and I was probably, you know, there maybe 10 minutes before closing. And they gave me like, oh gosh, like a liter of orange juice and like probably 4 liters of water. So that was amazing. And I literally chugged all of it because you're just so thirsty at that point.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, that's crazy. On the road, so you're riding your bike, right? And you're creating awareness. Has there been any like unique people or cool stories that you have that you could share with someone that you've witnessed along the way?
Yeah. Most fascinating person that I met on this trip so far is this really young man from Japan, actually. So he arrived in Quebec just prior to the pandemic starting, and he hasn't been able to go back to Japan. He was only supposed to come here for a few months for a very short contract and then head back. So pretty much what he's decided to do is to just bike across like different parts of Canada. And he's such an interesting person. His grandparents actually saw the Hiroshima bomb in Japan. Wow. And their family farm is only 70 kilometers from where the bomb went off. And he had such incredible and interesting stories. And that's just one person, but there was so many people along this journey who were just interesting and had so much like knowledge to offer. There's this other couple that had a sign in their yard that said free camping for any cyclist. So I stayed at their house for one night, one sleep. And they were telling me that they had met a man who had biked across Canada in just 18 days.
Wow.
With only a little bit of camping gear. And that's basically like a water bottle. So I didn't get to meet this person personally, but just hearing their story through another person was just wild to me, because it took me 14 days to bike from Toronto to New Brunswick. So all of Canada in 18 days with such little gear. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. So I realized that guy, he was probably on a mission if you're going to get a bike across Canada in that short of time. What do you think, like, how long do you think it will take?
So it is so hard to predict, because I've met people that have done it in I've met people that have done it in 4 months. I'm predicting for myself, usually I go about like 120 kilometers a day is very comfortable for me. I've gone up to 230 kilometers a day. So it really depends on how hard I want to push my body and I guess how cold it gets and if I want to avoid the cold of October. But I think I'll cover as much ground as I can from currently August to September. And we'll see if I dip into October.
Yeah. That's so good. It's so cool. I truly love the mission, and you've just decided like, just I'm doing this, and you did it. So I really respect you. So obviously this, I think, especially if you keep doing this, I think it's going to spread the Terry Fox run, because it's all over the place now. And I believe that you could probably get to something like that. But in the meantime, so you're biking to create awareness. Is there anything, is there a place that someone could donate or anything like that to help along the way to make your trip a success, but also to help others that are in?
Yeah, of course. So I have a SickKids Get Loud page. And if you look up Jillian Lynch, you'll be able to find what I'm doing and be able to donate as well. And I personally know so many of the families that you'd be potentially and have experienced a lot of the SickKids programs that have helped the siblings as well as the patients and families of SickKids. So I know that it's, for me, the most like life-changing experience was getting to SickKids and then being met with staff that really had such a huge impact on me and on my brother too. So there's so many unforgettable nurses and staff that are really like heavily ingrained into my mind. And I think about that every day. I just want to say kudos to all the nurses and healthcare workers out there that are doing everything they can throughout this pandemic too, because you've made a huge difference. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So what I'll do is when we're done on the show, I'll leave the recording because this also goes to a podcast there. So the link will be in the podcast for the URL. But for everyone who's listening on the radio, could you maybe spell out your website or what it is, like the URL, so people can tune to it if they want to help and support or see what you're up to?
Yeah, of course. So my name is the Sick Kids Get Loud fundraising page. And then my name is Jillian Lynch. So J-I-L-I-A-N is L-Y-N-C-H.
Okay, so that's perfect. No, I love it. I think it's so cool. I'll follow up with you when this is live and maybe you'll be able to tune in. I don't know where you are, where you'll have the internet, but on the radio, you can tune in and listen live so you can hear that. Or when you come back, it'll be available on the podcast. But thanks for tuning in today, everybody. If you find Jillian's story inspiring, let's support her on her cause and help others and donate anything I think would be amazing. Any amount that you have to spare, I think that'll go a long way. And thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're serious about investing and you want to get to the next level of your life with the least amount of time and without all the mistakes, then you're going to want to sign up for our club. It's only $29.95 a month. To join, visit invest.lendcity.ca. That's invest.lendcity.ca. Inside, you can chat with me and you'll learn about all the investments that we're speaking of in our episodes. We have classes and courses that you can join, as well as the networking opportunities you have with your peers and other experienced investors that are inside the club to help you to grow. We look forward to seeing you on the inside. And as a bonus, this membership is free for all of our mortgage customers. See you soon.